Rejoice, greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots of Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Amen. And may God bless to us this reading of his word. It seems now that some of our major retailers have made the production of their Christmas TV advert just about the most important thing they do all year. And there's been great anticipation for the John Lewis advert. Has anybody seen it yet on TV, the John Lewis advert? Little boy with a penguin. It's got loads of cute factor. But I saw the Sainsbury's advert a couple of days ago. And if it was a popularity contest, then the Sainsbury's advert blows the John Lewis advert right out the water. And it's so meaningful for this time of year and so important. And I think if we get things running, then we can watch now. Karen, can we have the Sainsbury's advert, please, if you haven't yet had a chance to see it?
Jenkins. Oakley. Knight.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
Schön, schön.
Christmas.
Frohe Weihnachten.
First of all, to say other supermarkets are available. I know it's a romanticised picture. And what we know for a fact is that it wasn't the whole front line. But we do know for a fact by letters and diaries that such a moment happened. Christmas 100 years ago, the guns fell silent, and what these men had in common became more important just for a short time. It seems to me that in this world of ours, that's what we get for now. We get glimpses of the kingdom. We get tasters of how it might be and how we believe in the end it will be. But in this broken world of ours, they are only ever moments. You can see them if your eyes are open. But you need to be quick. Because just as quickly as the guns rang out again, so these moments pass. And here we are, in this world at this time, there will only ever be moments. As I was saying earlier, I was in Belfast this week, just the briefest of visits, but I had an hour between meetings, and I took a bus tour, which included going up and down and through the streets of Belfast, which really were the scenes of what they called the Troubles. You know, there was something actually uncomfortable about that where there was so much conflict and loss of life, now we have tourist attractions and open-top bus rides down the Shankill Road and up the Falls Road through these broken communities. But nonetheless, that is how things are. You know, the Good Friday Agreement was signed 10th of April 1998 in Belfast, and yet still there is a wall running for miles in different places throughout the city. Isn't it a terrible irony that it's called the Peace Wall? It's there to keep the peace, but it's not a peace wall. I said to the tour guide, what's the prospect of this wall coming down? And he said, no time soon. People on either side of it would not feel safe. Which to me was terribly sad, that the fear and the lack of trust continue. And so for now, the wall stays. Because the simmering tension is not far below the surface. And even last year, we saw it breaking out over the issue of which flags were to be flown above the City Hall in Belfast. So this is peace. Well, the bombing has stopped in Belfast, more or less. But this is not peace. If we mean by that the biblical world, shalom, what we see in Belfast is not peace. Peace is much more than just people having stopped fighting with one another. I ask you, will that ever come? Will there ever be shalom, peace? Not just in Belfast, will there ever be shalom, peace on earth? Zechariah said that there would come that day. You'll just about make the slides out over. He says, rejoice, rejoice, people of Zion. Shout for joy, you people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. It's a promise of something more, a promise of what was to come. He comes triumphant and victorious, but humble and riding on a donkey. Zechariah was one of the prophets of old. He was living and writing in the 6th century BC. He was writing to the people, he was speaking to God's people towards the end of their 70 years of exile. 70 years of torture and torment for them. And into the bleakness of that situation, he said to them, someone is coming. There is a restoration on the way. Peace is coming. An end to what you are going through right now. Now his prophecy was fulfilled in these days. But Christians, of course, have always seen in Zechariah's words, a looking forward, a pointing beyond the immediate situation in which Zechariah was to something more. Nothing less than the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah. And of course you see it's not difficult for Christians to make these associations. We can't help but read these words and have our minds taken to Palm Sunday, to the Lord Jesus coming into Jerusalem, humble and riding on a donkey. So it came to pass in Zechariah's time. The war chariots were dispersed. The sounds of battle stopped. And something akin to peace came. A new day for the people of God. And it came to pass that our King came with this proclamation of peace. So the prophecy that he spoke of, the coming King, was fulfilled. Which takes me back to the question I asked a moment ago. So what happened to the peace? Your king will come. There will be an end to warring. He will proclaim peace and there will be peace in the kingdom. So what happened to the peace? Why is our world still divided and broken? Jesus came. So where's the peace? From Belfast to the Holy Land in which he walked, still there is no shalom, no peace. Why? Why no peace? Our answer is that Zechariah's prophecy is not yet fulfilled, not yet completed. We have tasted it. We have the first fruits of what he promised, but not the completion and fulfillment of it. And friends, as we are going to see, as we look in the coming weeks to the prophecies that talk of Jesus coming, now, in the world as it is, we have a part of them. We have a flavor. They're there, but still somehow elusive. So in this Advent season that is about to be upon us, we will do what we always do. We'll remember Jesus' first coming. But we'll do also what the church has always done. We'll anticipate his final coming. Folks, if anybody asks you where do you live, you can give them a postcode and a geographical location. But I want to tell you the place in which you live, spiritually speaking. You live between the first and the final comings of Jesus. That's where we live. We live between the first and the final. And there's so much of that is so wonderful because we live knowing Jesus. And in Christ coming into the world, we have the flavor, we have the signs of the kingdom, how it will be. But it's not yet complete, not yet delivered, and will not be until the final coming of Jesus. Do you know, I don't call it the second coming because Jesus comes to us every day. But his first coming was at Bethlehem. As Christians, we believe in, we look to, we anticipate, we hope for, we build our lives on the final coming, which shall be the kingdom when there is no more need of walls to keep people apart from one another. It's coming. He's promised. We glimpse it, but can't yet have it. We have a sense of it, but still long for its completion. Yesterday, shopping, we went past Thornton's, one of my favourite shops, it should be mentioned. And outside, there was a lady with a tray of beautiful chocolates, but just little squares. Can you picture it? Sometimes they do these things in Morrison's or some other supermarket if they have a new product. And there they are in the aisles with just little squares or little crumbs. And there the lady was outside Thornton's. Beautiful chocolates, just small portions. And she reached out to us as we went past. I took a chocolate. I took a square, just a crumb. And it was a taste of all the delights that lay within the shop. You see, Christ has come. Christ is among us. So we have a taste of the kingdom. But not yet, finally. So for now, there will continue to be the frustrations of this life, the horrors of this life. We'll continue to turn on our television screens and be aghast and appalled by what we see and hear. See, the kingdom, yes, but not yet. Christ has come, but he will come again. We're living in between. As we reflect on that, I want you to listen to the words of a song. U2, my all-time favourite band, U2. The song's called Peace on Earth. Again, if we've got the techie all together, you'll have the words of the song, Peace on Earth. And you can hear in the song the kind of sense of frustration. Jesus, you came, you promised peace on earth. We need it now. And this is the Christian hope. This is the Christian longing. Bring your kingdom, Lord. Bring your kingdom. Let's listen to this song. Reflect on what it is to be between the first and the final comings of Christ. of the troubles in Northern Ireland. A song which just voices the frustration. When will it come? Sick of talking, sick of hearing about peace on earth. When will it come? And so now we wait. We hope. We look to. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here as in heaven. Shall we pray?